and feed us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today. I was thinking in this Grandparents' Day, and I want to talk about generational faith. Generational faith. That's what I believe the Lord put on my mind to talk about. And I'd like for us to begin in the New Testament in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. I want to talk about generational faith. We've heard some excellent honor and reverence given to the grandparents here in our congregation, and we praise God again for them. And we just want to add our voice and give us all something to think about as it relates to generational faith. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing this second epistle as well as the first epistle, 1 Timothy, to an individual he calls his son in the gospel. And we will begin at this first chapter, first verse, but I want to give you a little background on just who Timothy is. According to the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, excuse me, Timothy's mother was a Jewish woman, a Jewish believer. She was a Jewish believer, and his father, Timothy's father, was Greek. Timothy's father was a Gentile. But Timothy, through the teaching of his mother, and also, as we will find out, and his grandmother, Timothy became a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Timothy had a good reputation among the brethren in the area where he lived. And so when Paul came, I believe it was Lystra, he had a good reputation in Lystra and Iconium. So when Paul came on his journey, and he desired, because he heard the good representation, the good reputation, I have to leave that alone since I can't pronounce it. He had a good rep. All right, okay. And Paul said, all right, I want to take him with me on a missionary journey. Now, you have to understand that Paul was going to take him to some other Jewish brethren. And some writers say because Timothy had a Greek father, his father didn't allow, while he was living, him to be circumcised. And then some writers say that at that time when Paul came, Timothy's father had passed. And he was living, Timothy, his mother, and his grandmother were living in the same place. So Paul, being wise, and Paul being aware of the custom that not only wouldn't the Jewish brethren hear Timothy unless he was circumcised, they wouldn't hear Paul because he was associating with someone who wasn't circumcised. So Scripture lets us know that Paul took Timothy and circumcised him. Not that circumcision means anything, right? But Paul was aware of the culture. And he was wise enough to understand that this man is going to have to come with me, and he's going to have to preach and teach the gospel. And we don't want nothing like a quote-unquote outside appearance to be a hindrance from the gospel message being received. That speaks to us even in our day. We need to be aware of the cultures that we try to declare God's word to. Not that we change our message, but we need to be aware of the cultures that we go into. Amen? Because I'm a firm believer that cross-cultural evangelism has to be intentional. It has to be intentional. So Paul used wisdom. He used wisdom and circumcised them. So we're going to take that off the list so now they can hear you. All right? So you can't go to everybody with a suit and tie. You might have to wear some shorts, some sandals, and turn your cap around backwards, but you're still you. You're still you. Amen. And God is still in you. All right, so that's just a little background on who this Timothy is. So in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, he begins, Paul is writing, he says, Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, favor, and spiritual blessing, mercy and heart peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. So he gives him this wonderful greeting. Then verse 3 gets a little interesting to my mind. He says something here. I thank God, whom I worship with a pure conscience in the spirit of my fathers, when without ceasing I remember you night and day in my prayers. What caught me in this verse, Paul is saying, I worship God in the spirit of my fathers. Now we have to know a little something about Paul's heritage. All right? Paul was a Jew, right? He was a Roman Jew, right? And he was a Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was carefully, meticulously educated in the Jewish religion. And when Paul was in the Jewish religion, he persecuted everyone that believed in the name of Jesus until he had a Damascus Road experience and he met the Lord on the way to put people like us who believe and teach and preach in the name of Jesus, he was going to put them away in jail and have them killed. But the Lord met him on the road. So now when Paul is saying, I thank God, whom I worship with the pure conscience in the spirit of my fathers, basically I believe what Paul is saying is that when I got the revelation of who God really is, because remember he said, who art thou, Lord? When I got the revelation of who God really is, then my eyes was open. And I understand that I was fighting against God. But that did not negate the teaching that I received from my fathers. All that did was open up the teaching, because my fathers, those who came before me, those who poured into me the knowledge of God that they had, they poured in what they had. But when I met the Lord for myself and he enlightened me, he said, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting, then my understanding and my enlightenment was higher, because God took me where my fathers couldn't take me. My fathers could only take me so far, but I'm not going to discard the teaching of my fathers, but I'm thankful to the Lord that he revealed himself to me. So what am I saying? I'm saying that thank God for the teaching of your grandparents. Thank God for the teaching. Thank God for the Christian teaching, for the good moral upbringing that your grandparents and your parents and your great-grandparents taught you. But you're going to have to come to a place in your life. You're going to have your own Damascus Road experience. You're going to have to come to a place in your life where you meet God one-on-one. You're going to have to meet God one-on-one. But Paul was saying, I worship God in the spirit of my fathers. And he said, I'm praying for you day and night in my prayers. Now, again, we I have to understand that Paul, he was educated in that Jewish religion, and he did it, the things that he did against the church of God, he did it ignorantly. He didn't know. He did the best that he could. And I have to say this now, because if you witnessed the program that we had this morning, and I would tell people, even when I used to teach Sunday school, you don't know how blessed you are to have saved parents. You don't know how blessed you are, and maybe you take it for granted, but just let me tell you, from an individual who didn't have saved parents, you don't know how blessed you are to have saved parents, and then you're doubly blessed if you got saved grandparents. You ought to praise God right now. You ought to be shouting in here right now. Trust me when I tell you, you ought to be shouting and thanking God every day of your existence for your saved parents and for your saved grandparents. But just in case you're in a similar category as me and you didn't have a saved parent or you didn't have a saved grandparent, but thank God the things that they taught you, they did the best that they could with what they had. And you ought to pray. If you got any good teaching, if you got any good moral teaching, if you got any good respectful teaching, you ought to praise God for that right now, whether they were saved or not saved. And don't hold them or don't charge them guilty, because you are here now. Glory. Hallelujah. I told my mama before she passed, when some of us was giving her a hard time, I said, "Mom, you did the best that you could." I said, "Don't let nobody put you on a guilt trip, because you did the best that you could. Now, if they didn't listen, that's on them." Amen. Amen. But I want you to understand how blessed you are to have saved grandparents and saved parents, because what they have done, they have brought to you the faith of Jesus Christ in his purest sense, the unadulterated word of God. I know sometimes we didn't want to hear it, and I know sometimes we probably said in our minds, "Oh, Nana," whatever you call your grandparents, Paul, "oh, that was back in your day, and you don't know what's going on this day. It is different now. It's nothing newer under the sun." Listen, your grandparents and your parents didn't get the wisdom just like that. They done been through something. You hear what I said? They done spent time in the presence of God. They done spent time on their knees. You had them up at night worrying about some of us. Okay, some of y'all, some of us had them up for sleepless nights worrying and praying. They was bombarded, and they still are. If the truth be told, they're still calling out your name before God, saying, "God, bless my seed. God, bless my heritage. God, let your word come to pass." Thank God for the consistency of your grandparents, because you know what they're doing even now, even in their older age. They're still holding on to the promise of God. They are still holding on to the word of God. And the reason that some of you ain't went off on the deep end, you might have got closer to the edge, and you might have looked in the vicinity of the deep end. But God, I believe, is honoring the prayers of your grandparents. God is honoring the prayers of your parents. And they're saying, "Bless them, Lord." They don't even know what they're doing, but they're holding on to a promise. What promise is your grandparents holding on to? The promise that when God poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, he said, "This promise is unto you and is to your children and to them that are afar off." I'm talking about generational faith. So the same faith of your grandparents is the same faith that your parents have, and it's the same faith that they're trying to pour into you with everything that they got. And this was the same faith that Timothy had. It was in Timothy, and it was in his mother, and it was in his grandmother. So Paul now, he continues, and he says in verse number 4, "As I recall your tears, I yearn to see you, that I may be filled with joy. See, Paul, he saw something in Timothy, and I don't care how you try to cover it up, young people, but we see something in you, and what we see in you is the Spirit of God. What we see in you is the calling of God. You can club all you want to. You can get high all you want to. You can fornicate all you want to, but God is still in you, and we ain't giving up on you. So Paul said, I saw something in you, Timothy, and I'm standing and declaring, I see something in you, grandchildren. I see something in you, great-grandchildren, because God has placed his Spirit on the inside of you. Buck all you want to, but one day soon, God is going to rise up in you, and you're going to shake up, you're going to shake off all of that junk that the devil is trying to keep you bound in. I hear the Bible said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So you're already free, but you got to realize that you got to stir up. That's what he told Timothy. He said, stir up the gift that's in you. That means rekindle. There's a fire in you. I was present when some of y'all got filled with the shown up Holy Ghost. So I can declare that there is the fire of God in you, and the fire of God is the Spirit of God, it's the power of God, and it's the presence of God. So Timothy was being admonished, he was being encouraged to stir up, reignite, rekindle the gift that's in you. Paul said, I know it's in you, and I know faith is in you, because it was in your grandmama, and faith was in your mama, and I'm sure that it's in you. I hear Paul said on one occasion, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Grandchildren, great-grandchildren, don't you dare be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because you know that it is the power of God unto salvation. So this faith has been passed down from generation to generation. I hear Jude said at one time to earnestly contend for the faith. You know what that means? You got to defend this faith. Let me tell you something. I would be in trouble if I was out on the street and I ran up on you and start talking about your mama. You probably want to knock me down. Yes, you would. And don't dare say nothing about your grandmama and your whole generation. But what am I trying to say? You got to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. What faith? The faith in Jesus Christ. The faith in the Word of God. I believe in these last days of 2015, God is looking for an army. God is looking for an army of young people who will stand up. You hear what I said? Listen, you've already been enlisted. You've already been sworn in. You've already been inducted into God's army. When did I do that? On the day you repented of your sins. That's when you walked up and said, okay, I'll join this army. And then you went through an induction ceremony. You got baptized in Jesus' name. And God filled you with the Holy Ghost. He equipped you with all the power of God himself. And he set you down. God knew what family you would be born in, and your family that you were born in was a godly family. Glory be to God. So the instruction that you got from your parents, the instruction that you got from your grandparents, it was arming you. It was equipping you for the day of battle. And now today is the day of battle. They taught us in the army, it's
if things happen and we have to go out and engage the enemy, that's why we trained so hard. Because when you train and you train and you train, you don't have to think about what you're going to do. When you face the enemy, you just revert back to your training. What is God trying to say? Listen to the instruction of your grandparents. They're training you. They're training you for battle. They're training you so when you walk out into the world, you ain't got to worry about, well, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? Just revert to the training. Glory. Hallelujah. And you've been trained in the word of God. I hear the Bible said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So this, don't say, I got to go to grandma's and she going to pray. I got to go to papa's and all he going to do is pray and ask me what God would do. Listen, that's your strength. The word of God is your strength. I hear the Bible said that the word of the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and they're safe. And in your Bible, God has declared he called the old because they know the way. And all you got to do is sit down with some old folks. Glory, some old folks chronologically in God, and they know the way. And open up your ears and let them pour into you all the godly wisdom that they can. And then that verse said he called the young because they're stronger. So you're strong enough to face everything that the devil will put in your path. You ain't got to back up. Glory. Hallelujah. I got to get to what the Bible said here, because Paul was telling Timothy, don't be afraid. Listen, when you have the power of God, when you have the word of God, when you have the faith in Jesus Christ, you ain't got to be scared of nobody and nothing at no time. Stand on the word of God. Listen to what I said. You got the power in the Holy Ghost to control, glory, hallelujah, your flesh. Lord, help me here this morning. You got power if you got the show enough Holy Ghost. You got power to get up out of that bed of adultery or fornication. You got the power to look that devil right in the eye and say, I ain't taking another drag off of nothing. Glory. Hallelujah. You got the power to put the bottle down, to put the cup down, to put the pills down. You got that power because that power was in you, and it was in your parents, it was in your grandparents. So stand up. Everybody ain't doing it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God will not leave himself without a witness. I believe that there's still some young people that are living for God. I'm crazy enough to believe that there's some young contenders. They're up and coming. Jude said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. I believe there's some young people that's keeping their body under subjection. They're working out. Ah, yes, they are. What's their workout plan? These 66 books is their workout plan. They're stretching themselves in their faith. Get into the word of God. Exercise your spiritual muscles. Walk. If you're going to walk, put your earbuds in and put your smartphone on the word of God. And as you're walking, getting your bodily exercise, your mind and your spirit and your heart is being strengthened with the word of God. So when that enemy wants to present you with an appetizer, glory, hallelujah, you look at your appetizer, yeah, it's nice, it's fine, and it's well put together, but I've been listening to the word of God. I've been arming myself and to know and understand that the devil ain't gonna slip up on me with no stuff or with no junk. And God is looking for somebody to show himself strong on behalf of them that fear his name. What do you mean fear? That reverence his name. How do you think in times of old, young people were kings and ruled over God's people because they had a desire to live for God. And I still believe there's some preachers up in here. Glory, hallelujah. I still believe there's some evangelists up in here that ain't said nothing. You've been stirring in your spirit. I don't know why God's taking me this way, but I'm going. You've been stirring in your spirit. Ain't nothing you tried ain't going to work because you know God called you to declare his word. But what my friends going to say, your friends need to be saved. Glory, hallelujah. Could you ever think that you're the hindrance? That's why your friends ain't saved, because you too busy kicking it with them. You need to kick that junk to the curb. You need to tell the devil and all his treats, all his front side payoffs. That's what the devil does. He pay you off in front with a little something because he knows it. He can't pay you in the end. The devil has a reserved seat in hell. That's where he's going, and he wants to drag you, but you got the power over the enemy. You got the power to walk right there in the devil's court and snatch out your friends. Go get your friends. Go get your homies. Go get your Ace Boon Coons and your Pride and Joy. Go get your boy. Go get your road dog. They need you to witness to them, but you got to fortify yourself. You got to understand that this faith, you got to build up your most precious holy faith. Your grandmama was serious. Your granddaddy was serious. And chronologically, they're on the second half of their life, and they're looking to you. You hear what I said? Some of y'all have a great godly heritage, and that's why the enemy is attacking you so hard. Listen, I got to walk just a little bit. I'm trying not to walk, but I got to walk just a little bit. You got a great heritage in God. And the devil, he wants to shut your mouth. He wants to tear up your witness. But I declare that the devil is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And your Bible, if you find it, will let you know that he is already defeated. So since he's already defeated, you ain't got to listen to no loser. Glory unto God. The devil already lost. It's in the book already. He already lost. And I hear your Bible said, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. What triumphs? Our faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in the finished work of Calvary. He has been and he is and always will be victorious. So who you want to roll with? You want to roll with a loser? Or would you want to roll with a winner? As for me, listen, I rolled with a loser for a long time. 25 years, I was rolling with a loser and thought that I was winning. But I'm so glad when the real winner showed up. His name is Jesus. He found me on my Damascus Road. Now, my Damascus Road was Skid Row. Glory. Hallelujah. The devil was just dancing around my head. And in my mind, yeah, I got him. He ain't worth nothing. But thanks be unto God. Here comes Jesus right down there on Skid Row. Jesus, listen, Jesus can go anywhere you are. And Jesus, wait a minute. Somebody was praying for me. It might not have been my grandmama. It might have been your grandmama. Glory. Hallelujah. It might not have been my granddaddy, but it was your granddaddy. But whoever it was, God heard the prayer. He heard the prayer of a faithful prayer warrior, and God found me right down there on Skid Row, right down there in the midst of drugs, in the midst of alcohol, in the midst of homelessness. God came and got me up out of that mess, and he placed me. Look at the grace and the mercy and the marvelous fabulousness of God. God placed me into a royal family. So I got parents, I got big sisters, I got brothers, I got uncles. Glory, I feel like shouting. Glory, hallelujah, because it's their faith that built me. When I came, glory, glory, hallelujah. I came in here, oh, battered. I was beat down. I have to look up to see the bottom. And God placed me in a royal family, and they fed me. Glory, hallelujah. The same thing they fed you in your house. Glory. Thank God for faithful people. They didn't treat me like I was an outcast. They embraced me. Glory, hallelujah. They embraced me like I was natural born in your family. And here you got the nerve to be blood born by nature into a godly family. And you're going to rebel? Are you out of your mind? You must be crazy. They treated me like they gave birth to me. And they still do. So how, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? This is great! How are you going to escape? Every time the devil tried to bring in your head some mess about generational curse, you tell him, no, I got generational faith. I ain't buying that. Oh, it sounds good. It'll draw a crowd. I ain't worried about that crowd. Glory. There's a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews. I feel like running. There's a cloud of witnesses in Hebrews. And there are forefathers. Yes, they are. And they're standing up, I believe, in heaven. They got bleachers in heaven. They standing up, grandstands in heaven, saying, come on, you can do it. Come on. Give me my banner. Glory, hallelujah. This is just how my mind works. I believe that our faithful forefathers who God gave this message of faith, that message of the gospel, are standing up. You know how when you go to a ball game, you know, you got banners in there, and you pay a lot of money for them banners, don't you? Put them up on your wall. Yes, you do. Won't put a dime in church. Uh-oh, let me leave that right there. But you buy a banner, put it up on your wall. But I believe that they're standing in heaven. This is just how my mind works, y'all. I believe that they're standing, the heroes of faith, our forefathers who went through all kind of persecution, all kind of evil for the name of Jesus, for defending the faith. I believe that they're standing up and they say, come on, son. Who, me? Yeah, you. Come on, daughter. Yeah, but I can't trace my heritage. Don't worry about it. You ain't got to trace your natural heritage, because you've been born again. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. So you're a daughter. Glory. I feel like shouting here. You a daughter. You a son. They're saying, come on. You can make it. Come on. You can make it. Come on. Every time a test presents itself, I believe they start the wave. Glory. In heaven, they start a wave. This section will stand and say, go ahead. You can make it. This section, come on, y'all wave. Get up. Help me. Go ahead, you can make it. Come on, get up. You can make it. Come on, get up. You can make it. Get up. Come on, let's keep it going. Get up. You can make it. Get up. You can make it. Get up. You can make it. Get up. Because the devil will try to make us think that we're by ourselves. But I want you to remember this visual, that every time you come across a test, you got a wave in heaven saying, go ahead, you can make it, son. You can kick that habit. God has the power. You can make it, daughter. You can keep your legs closed. You can make it, son. You can zip it up. Yes, you can. Go ahead. You can say no and let your no mean sure enough no. We got a cloud of witnesses. The same faith that took them through it, the same faith that allowed them to go into a fiery furnace, the same faith that allowed them to make a lion their pillow. Glory, hallelujah. We got the same kind of faith. We just got to use it. generational faith. You really want to honor your grandparents? Huh? Or was this just for show? You really want to honor your parents? Or was this just for show? Well, the grandparents, we just wait till next year. No. You can miss me with that foolishness. Y'all know I'm from Brooklyn, so sometimes it flashes in there sometimes. But that's all right. God can use your personality as long as you let him use you. But all that foolishness, miss me with that. I ain't got time for that. Either we believe God's word or we don't. And if you don't, then you got to say, help my unbelief. Because God's word is true. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's the faith that was handed. That's what y'all told me when I came in here. And I believed it, and I still believe it. Generational faith. I'm going to stop. I think I gave you enough to think about. This faith was passed down from generation to generation, and we got to continue it and contend for it and defend it and walk in it and live it. Because you need to get your friends saved. You need to get your partners, your homies, your road dogs saved. You need to get your girls saved. You need to get your baby daddy saved. All right, can I go there? I'm from Brooklyn. I'll go there. You need to get your baby mama saved. You need to get little man. He need to get saved too. Little mama. Yeah. Man, Pookie, Ray. All of them need to be saved. Little bit. 2 Cent. He need to be saved too. You know, 2 Cent live around the corner. He need to be saved. Mr. Buggy out in front of the liquor store. He need to be saved. Buggy need to be saved too. Don't look at me like that. And such were some of you. Come on. Generational faith. We have something. You hear what I said? We have something. Cast not away your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, what's God's will? That you go from faith to faith. You may receive the promise. The promise is coming, y'all. And we might be the generation to receive it in its fullness. When the Lord returns, will he find faith on the earth? All right. I'll stop. Don't sell out when the devil try to bring us some weak stuff. Jesus held out. He held out. The devil came to him and said, look, I'll give you all this stuff. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. He was offering him more money than Mayweather got. Yeah, more power. Than some of them celebrities think they have. He said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just bow down and worship me. He didn't sell out. The devil hasn't offered anybody in here that. We're selling out for chump change. Selling out for some sex. No. I don't want to chase that rabbit. A moment of pleasure for an eternity of damnation. How does that? That don't even make sense on the scales. Sell out for some money that's going to burn up. Some money? Come on. Generational faith. We have to protect the faith. We have to obey the faith. And the faith is in Jesus Christ. The faith is in the finished work of Calvary. We have to live like we believe it. So then when our friends see us living like we believe it, we'll be able to draw them. Because they see we're not phonies. We're not fakes. We're not hypocrites or frauds. We have to live this day. And we have received it from faithful men. I'm using the term generically. That means men and women. We have received it. God left it in the hands of faithful men, and they passed it down from generation to generation, and now it's in our hands. We cannot let it stop with us. We have to continue to guard and defend this generational faith. Amen? God bless you. If you're here this morning, and you may have a background similar like mine's. Dad was an alcoholic. Mom had mental problems.